In this final volume, Dr. Chopra guides you through several meditations and exercises that will aid you in transforming your life, reversing disease, and slowing down the aging process. All of these exercises are designed to create a greater sense of harmony and balance in your life. Some of the areas that he specifically focuses on in this volume are discovering what your dharma or your life's purpose is, the power of focusing your attention and intention, triggers for transformation, and meditations on healing and opening your heart. If you commit to doing these exercises and meditations on a regular basis, you may eventually find yourself connecting with the gap, ultimately allowing you to acquire a greater sense of knowing and the peace of mind that comes with healthy self-care.
In Ayurveda, there's a very important concept relating to spiritual evolution and transformation. It's the concept of dharma. And understanding what dharma means is essential to bringing synchronicity into your life. And that means it's essential to becoming a more enlightened human being. Dharma is another Sanskrit word that you may recognize, like karma. It's a word that's entered the English language to some extent. It's something you may have heard at one time or another, but it's often misunderstood. Dharma really refers to the natural path a person is intended to follow through life. Your dharma is your destiny, but it is destiny without any hint of compulsion or force. On the contrary, your dharma is really the path of least resistance. It's the course that is most right and most nourishing. Simply put, it's the path that brings the greatest fulfillment and the most happiness. As human beings, we share a universal dharma in the sense that we are all intended to achieve wholeness of life. We are intended to achieve our full potential mentally and physically and spiritually. And we are also intended to fulfill ourselves spiritually. This means moving beyond an ego-based way of life and toward unity consciousness and oneness with spirit. This shared destiny is built into the DNA of every cell in our bodies. You inherited it from those that preceded you, and you will pass it on to those that follow. It is the birthright of every generation to further this collective human dharma and to evolve from all the generations that came before. Along with the dharma we all share, there is also a personal dharma. This is the course of action that is most appropriate for you as an individual human being, the way of living your life that will bring you satisfaction and wholeness. Each of us has a gift, a special purpose that we alone can give to the world. This is our individual dharma. We are meant to discover this unique gift and to share it. When we do, we are not just happy, we are fulfilled because we have achieved our true purpose in life. Much of the frustration and anger that people experience every day derives from the fact that they are estranged from their dharma in both its universal and personal expressions. Angry inner dialogue is a sign of this estrangement. If, however, you are in tune with your dharma, you will always remain anchored in a sense of purpose and meaning. The negative and self-destructive emotions that are such a fact of modern life simply can't touch you. How can you go about finding your dharma? How can you discover the path that is most evolutionary and nourishing for your unique nature? The first step is to begin thinking about your life from a new and deeper perspective. The 1,001 things you're called upon to accomplish every day may leave very little chance for reflection on the purpose of life. So the exercise that follows is designed to provide an opportunity. It's really very simple. You'll need a paper and pen and about 10 minutes of uninterrupted time. During the exercise, I'll be asking you the same question. Why are you here? And I'll be asking this question at 30-second intervals. Just write down whatever comes to mind after you hear the question. Don't worry about writing in complete sentences. Just quickly make a note that expresses how the question sounds to you on each succeeding occasion. For example, At first, it may seem quite straightforward, but later you may find yourself hearing it differently. Even if you're in the middle of writing something, when you hear the question again, it's best to stop what you're doing and begin a new response. If you have your writing instrument ready, we can begin. Why are you here? 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 Now, as you look over the responses you've written, what do they tell you? Do you see any pattern or progression in the succeeding answers? What does this tell you about how you see your life? The question was always the same, but you can probably see that the same question is subject to many different interpretations and responses. The same thing is true of everything that happens in your life every day. You can see your life as just a series of physical and mental events, but you can also learn to see those events as connections with something more spiritual. And when you do that, you can also learn to see your life as an opportunity to share the gift which you alone were created to bestow upon the world. That is your dharma. That's the real reason and the real answer to the question, why are you here? All experience is time-bound, but the experiencer is timeless. The experiences will change, but the experiencer will be the same. So once again, the experiencer is the timeless factor in every time-bound experience. In order to heal ourselves, we have to get in touch with that wholeness that is the experiencer. Again, the word healing, holy, wholeness, hologram, all come from the same place. So the reason I'm going through all this is to remind you that we are beyond the memories. We are the silent witness of the memories. That healing is the return of the memory of wholeness. So I think with this as a background, let's go through a certain experiential process that may make this a little more real for all of us. I'd like everyone to sit comfortably in their chairs and relax and close your eyes and let's see what happens. So, keep your eyes closed and very gently bring your awareness to your breaths. Start observing your breath. So we're going into meditation now. And now, leave the meditation as you were doing it and project on the screen of your consciousness all the space-time events that you have experienced this morning from the moment you got out of bed. Just witness the scenery and hear the sounds and feel the emotions. Witness that, from the moment you woke up until now, everything that you can recall, experience that. Observe the scenery, hear the sounds, and feel the emotions, if any. Don't evaluate, don't analyze, just observe and hear and see. And now leave that and go back to last night from the moment you got into bed before you went to sleep, and go backwards in time to the evening, and before that into the afternoon, and before that into the morning, and before that right to the moment you got out of bed. So witness yesterday on the screen of your consciousness. Observe the scenery, hear the sounds, feel the sensations, the feelings. No evaluation, just observe, hear, feel. And now, day before yesterday, starting again at night and going back through the day, evening, afternoon. Now leave that and witness on the screen of your consciousness a major or significant event in your life in the last 5 or 10 years. Again, don't analyze, don't evaluate, don't judge, just observe, hear and feel a major or significant event in your life. Could be anything, a wedding, a divorce, a separation, a birth, a death, a graduation, a new job, loss of a job, anything that you think was significant. Observe, hear, and feel. Now leave that and go back to some episode in your college days, and if you didn't go to college, then around that period of life when you were in college, or maybe the last year of high school, but somewhere between the ages of 14 and 24, and just observe any significant events. Observe them, hear, and feel. Now leave that and go back to your childhood. Observe the house, your parents, your siblings, your friends. Your bedroom. Observe the scenery. Hear the sounds. Feel the emotions. Go back as far as you can into your childhood. Go back to your first day in school. See if you can remember the first day in school. You witnessed that. Now, further back into the womb of your mother. And now, even beyond that, ancient places, ancient times. just the intention. Let the intention take you wherever it will take you. Now leave all of that to come to this moment right here in this room. Eyes closed. But be here now. Be here, right this moment. So you've had a brief glimpse of the videotape of your life so far, or lives so far. Now just play with this videotape for a while. Rewind it, fast forward it, pause, mute, increase the volume. Do whatever you want. Go back and forth. From this moment backwards and then coming back. Just survey. Scan the videotape of your life or lives. Now back to this moment, and now unroll the film into the future that you desire, the future that you intend. Unroll that tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next 5 years, next 10 years, 20 years, wherever your fancy takes you. The future that you desire. Now you can leave all that and come back to this moment, just to this present moment, and wait for about 1 or 2 minutes. Slowly open your eyes. How come we remember certain things and we don't remember certain other things? How many people can remember what they had for lunch 2 weeks ago on Wednesday? Anybody? Why not? It depends on the quality of our original attention when we were having the experience. In fact, your body remembers everything. Your body, which is also your mind, remembers everything. But those things that you gave significance to, where your attention was trapped, those are the ones that are more likely to surface. So last 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, lunch wasn't probably anything significant. But if it happened to be a wedding or some other significant occasion, then that would immediately surface. So the quality of our attention determines the lucidity or the vividness with which the memory is coded in that holographic template of infinite possibilities. Which brings us to a very important point. If the quality of our attention was always that we were alert, if the quality of our attention was always that we are awake, then we are accessing that holographic template, and beyond that we can eavesdrop on the cosmic mind. It all depends on the quality of our attention when the memory is structured. So that's a very important point to come out of this. But I want to make one more point. And that's really the most important point. There are always three components to any experience. Number one, there's the experiencer. Number two, there's the process of experiencing. And number three, there is the object of experience. We can say that in a different way. We can say there's the observer, there's the process of observation, and there is that which is observed. Or you can say there is the knower, there is the process of knowing, and there is the object of knowledge. Or you can say there's the seer, there's the process of seeing, and there is the scenery. All different ways of saying the same thing. The seer is you, the soul. The process of seeing is the mind, because where do you process that whole thing? In your mind. The process of observation is the mind. And the object of observation is the body and the world. Whether it's the feeling in the body or the image in the body or the world out there. Once again, the seer, the observer, is the soul. The process of observation and the process of seeing is in the mind. And the object of observation, or the scenery, is in the body, as also in the world. The body and the world are the same thing. We are the world. The body and the world. This is a personal body, that's a cosmic body, but they're both objects of our observation. The process of seeing and the scenery change, but the seer remains the same. The process of observation, which is in the mind, and the objects of observation change. But the observer is the same. And now what happens is, we, and actually the seer generates the process of seeing and the scenery anyway, we manifest into the world, as the body, as the mind. But what happens is that we forget who we are. And we identify with the objects of our experiences rather than with the observer. And what happens with the objects of the experiences? What happens with the scenery? It keeps changing. It's like quicksand. You can't even put it in your hand. It slips away even before you've grasped it. And so when our anchor becomes the scenery, we get frazzled, we get vulnerable, we get insecure, we get devastated. Why does that happen? That happens because we lose sight of the fact that we are the seer and not the scenery. The scenery will always change. And if our anchor is the scenery, we will be devastated. But if our anchor is the seer, then we will always be awake, we will always be in that place where the turbulence doesn't affect us. We have to shift the focus of our attention, and that's all it is, from the scenery to the seer. We shift our focus of attention from the scenery to the seer, and once that becomes our anchor, we automatically do not allow the scenery to overshadow the real person. The real person is the seer. And the seer is the timeless factor in the midst of time-bound scenery.
There are major benefits to be gained once you begin to consciously use your awareness to direct the flow of energy and information in your body. Here are some beginning procedures for localizing attention and fulfilling intentions. We'll progress to deeper, more powerful techniques in later sections, but even at these stages, the connections forged between mind and body are extremely helpful for breaking out of the old pathways that create aging. Exercise 1. Paying attention to your body. Awareness has many levels, and it must be allowed to flow from one to the other, for flow is its natural state. In this first exercise, you learn to easily direct your attention to each area of the body. As this happens, the act of paying attention releases deep stored stresses. To begin, set aside about 20 minutes of time. Then choose a quiet room and sit with your eyes closed in a comfortable chair or lie down. Place your attention on the toes of your right foot. Curl them down until they feel tense. Then release the tension and feel the sense of relaxation that flows into them. Don't rush either the tensing or the relaxing. Take time to feel what is happening. Now let out a long, deep sigh as if you are breathing out of your toes, letting all stored fatigue and tension slip away with your breaths. Now repeat this procedure with the top of your right foot, first placing your attention on it, then tensing the muscles by arching your foot backward, and finally by relaxing them. When the top of your foot feels relaxed, let out a sigh as if you are breathing out through your toes. Once you have this basic technique down, take your attention to all parts of the body in the following order. Remember that this is not just a muscle relaxation technique. Your attention needs to linger comfortably at each bodily location. Right foot, toes, top of foot, sole of foot, and the ankle, flexing back, and then flexing forward. Now follow the same technique for the left foot. Next, the right buttock and upper thigh. Now the left buttock and upper thigh. The abdominal muscles and diaphragm. Lower back, upper back. Right hand, first the fingers, then the wrist, flexing first back, then flexing forward. Now the same procedure for the left hand. Next the shoulders, flexing first forward, then flexing upward. The neck, flexing forward, then flexing backward. And last, the face, in two stages. First, screwing the face into a tight grimace, then tensing brow and forehead. This exercise sounds rather complicated when described verbally, but flexing various body parts simply follows the natural way the joints and muscles move. After one session, you will be able to feel your way around your body effortlessly. A complete circuit of the body takes about 15 or 20 minutes, but if you're pressed for time, you can do a shorter version involving only the toes, diaphragm, fingers, shoulders, neck, and face. Exercise 2. Focused intention. This exercise demonstrates that just having an intention is enough to accomplish a result. When properly focused, easily and without strain, awareness is the ability to carry out quite specific commands. An intention need not be a verbally expressed thought. In fact, our deepest intentions are body-centered. Our most fundamental needs for love, understanding, encouragement, and support permeate every cell, and every cell is seeking their fulfillment. If left alone, intentions automatically seek their fulfillment, bypassing the ego and the rational mind, which are often closed to our true needs and desires. There are three procedures in this exercise that will allow you to experience the effortless way that intentions get fulfilled. For best results, do the previous exercise as a warm-up in order to bring your body into a receptive state. Even though the intentions being carried out are simple, they give you confidence in your ability to direct your awareness, and this is vitally important if you want to change the deep-rooted patterns of aging, because aging itself is an intention that your cells are obeying without your control. To begin, take a piece of string about 12 inches long and tie a small weight like a household washer or a 1-inch bolt onto one end to create a pendulum. Hold the string in your right hand and brace your elbow on the table or the arm of your chair so that you can keep the pendulum steady. Sit comfortably and make sure that the pendulum is not moving. Now look at the weight and project the intention that the pendulum begin moving from side to side. Keep your attention on the pendulum and keep the intention firmly in mind, but make sure you hold your arm steady. In a few seconds, you will be surprised to see the pendulum starts to move of its own accord. If it moves erratically at first, don't try to correct its swing, just wait until the desired motion is found automatically. Now change your intention to direct the pendulum back and forth instead of side to side. Again, see this motion in your mind's eye and easily hold it there. Typically, your pendulum will hesitate for a few seconds, move erratically, then take up the desired direction. After watching it move for a few seconds, intend for the pendulum to swing in a circle. Again, it will pause, move erratically for a second or two, then move exactly as you visualized. The harder you try to hold your arm rigidly still, the faster the pendulum will move. Now, let's try the second procedure. Sitting comfortably, hold your right hand open, palm upward. Have the intention that your palm should get warmer. Imagine that your hand is touching a red-hot stove of burning coal. Hold that image in your mind. Within a few seconds, the sensation of warmth will start to appear. Now hold up your left hand and aim the fingers of your right hand at it. Intend for the warmth to shoot out of your right hand into the palm of the left. Most people will feel warmth broadcast from one hand to the other. Others will feel a mild tingling or ticklish sensation in the left palm. This exercise is most effective if you guide someone else through it. If you are doing it alone, familiarize yourself with the instructions first so that you can try the experiment without interruption. And now, the third procedure. Sit comfortably and hold an ordinary thermometer between the thumb and forefinger of your right hand. Close your eyes and pay attention to your breathing for a moment. As your body relaxes, continue to easily follow your breath, then note the temperature on the thermometer. You are going to change it through intention alone. Have the intention of cold. Breathing through your mouth, feel the cool air in your throat as it moves in and out. Think the word cool as you do this. Now imagine that the thermometer is a piece of ice that you can barely hold between your fingers. After a minute or so, look at the temperature on the thermometer. It will likely have dropped from 2 to 5 degrees. If you notice no change, resume the exercise for another minute or two before checking again. I'm going to take you through an exercise called Heart Sutras. The word sutra in Sanskrit is the same as sutre in Latin. It means suture or stitch. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the gap and we're going to stitch the gap while having our awareness on the heart. And this is how we'll do it. We'll first start with meditation. And then about 5-10 minutes into your meditation, approximately 5 minutes, I'm going to say stop that meditation. Then I'm going to say move your awareness to your heart. And mentally you'll move your awareness to your heart. And then I'm going to say be still. and you're going to introduce the intention for stillness in your body and in your mind. So you're going to keep your body as still as possible and as quiet as possible, and your mind will also be still and quiet. And in that silence, I'm going to, every 15 seconds, I'm going to pronounce the sutras, which are words. And as I pronounce those words, you release those words from your heart. And having released them, come back to the stillness. So it's like we have a still pond and you throw a little pebble. And when you throw a pebble, what happens to the stillness? There's a ripple. And when the ripple dies down, what happens? It goes back to the stillness. And then 15 seconds later, I'm going to throw another sutra there, and you're going to release it mentally. All this is done mentally. I'm going to speak it loudly, but you're going to just do it mentally, and you release the sutra again. And you'll see what happens. And we're going to do that with four sutras to open up the heart chakra. And then I'll explain to you what to expect in your life once this chakra is open. So just start with meditation. And just listen to me and go with it. Flow with it. Don't worry about whether you're doing it right or not. Okay. Please keep your eyes closed and start the meditation. Please don't open your eyes until I ask you to.
move your awareness into the area of your heart. Move your awareness into the area of the heart. And be still. And as I announce the sutras, just release them from your heart and then go back to the stillness. A little ripple, a little intention, and then back into the stillness. Awareness in the heart. Be still. Peace. Peace. Harmony. 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 Laughter. 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 Love. 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 Now please remain in the stillness with your eyes closed and just listen to my words. The four heart sutras are peace, harmony, laughter, love.
The four Heart Sutras are peace, harmony, laughter, and love. I'll repeat. The four Heart Sutras are peace, harmony, laughter, and love. When I ask you to, you will start this process by yourself. So remain in the stillness with your awareness in your heart, and when I say begin, then wait 15 seconds after I say begin, and don't count 15 seconds, it's just a faint idea. And then after 15 seconds, just release the word peace from your heart. And having released it, don't follow it, just come back to the stillness. Do that four times, every 15 seconds apart. Then the same thing with harmony, the same thing with laughter, and the same thing with love. So that'll take about 4 minutes. And after that, wait for 1 or 2 minutes and open your eyes. So the whole thing will take about 5 minutes or so. And you'll begin when I ask you to. Begin. Thank you. Okay, I don't want anyone to take notes for this next few minutes. Let me tell you what to expect and what to do. Once again, the word sutra is related to the word sutre, suture, stitch. Also, the word ligature comes from the same root, ligature. Religio, which is the origin of the word religion. Religio means going back to the self and binding with the self. Sutra practice is very profound in that it completely alters your world if you do it regularly. And this is what you do. You meditate for 20 minutes. And then at the end of 20 minutes, you stop the mantra, stop doing the meditation, just move your awareness to your heart, introduce the notion of stillness, both body and mind. When the body is still, the mind is still. Any martial arts person will tell you, when the body goes into stillness, the mind goes into stillness. When the mind goes into stillness, the body goes into stillness. All you do is gently introduce the intention for stillness. And then you wait for about 15 seconds, and then you start releasing the sutras from your heart. One by one. Four sutras. Every 15 seconds. You don't look at your watch or anything. It's just a faint idea. You're interrupting the stillness with the sutra. Now, many things can happen. Occasionally it will be very beautiful. You'll feel the stillness and you'll feel the ripple in your consciousness and you'll feel the ripple in your body. But many times it won't be like that. Many times you won't even know if you did the sutras. Many times you'll say, did I really do it? Or what was that? Or, you know, I was just thinking of my mortgage payment. Or, you know, or the phone call I have to make. So please do not judge your meditation. That's the worst thing you can do. From your side, the important thing is that you had the intention. That's all. You did meditation and then you had the intention of doing these sutras and you presume that you did them correctly. The intention is what is important. The magic happens not in meditation. The magic happens outside meditation. And this I can tell you what to expect. The first sutra, peace, is being established in non-violence. Being established. You go to the level of being and then that intention of peace, it takes that being and establishes it in non-violence. And then the sutra says, when our being is established in non-violence, all other beings around us cease to feel hostility. So you will know that the sutra is working not by the quality of your meditation. You can never tell by the quality of your meditation. Many times, as I said, you won't even know if you release the sutras or not. But what will happen is that your presence will create peace. You go into a room and people are arguing, they won't feel like arguing anymore. They don't know what's happened and you don't tell them it's because I'm doing my sutras that you're not arguing anymore. Then you'll blow it. That's called object referral. You never talk about what your sutras are. You can say you meditate, and there's a sutra practice that you do, but don't talk about the sutras, because then you're bringing the seed out. Okay? But you will notice that your presence will create peace. I mention this frequently because this is one of the most remarkable things that happened to me in my life was I went into silence for a whole week, and I just did these four sutras. And at the end of the week, if I looked at a bird and I wanted it to come and land in my hands, it would. Just the intention it would, because there was peace here. There was non-violence. Nothing was threatened. Not even a bird was threatened. So the first sutra again, being established in non-violence, all beings around us cease to feel hostility. Not by what we do, not by what we think, but just by our very being. The second sutra, harmony. Being established in the cosmic dance. There's a dance going on in the cosmos. And it's full of harmony where everything is connected with everything else. When our being is established in the cosmic dance, then we experience meaningful coincidence and synchronicity. So when you start thinking of someone, they call you on the phone, or when you go to New York City and you step out of the elevator and you find the person that you were looking for, or when you have a desire such as chocolate ice cream and your friend comes by and says, you know, I don't know why, but I thought of buying chocolate ice cream for you. Or when you're looking for a parking space and somebody moves out just at the right time so you can park, then you'll know that the second sutra is working. And again, you don't say, you know, we found this parking spot because I'm doing this sutra. Blow it. That's self-referral. You totally stay with the self and not object referral, which means trying to impress people or trying to evaluate yourself through the eyes of others or trying to be one up on somebody. That will blow it completely. It's just something you do privately, not even speak about it. And then the magic will happen. So the second sutra is being established in the cosmic dance, and when our being is established in the cosmic dance, then we experience meaningful coincidence and synchronicity. And when that accelerates, then that's what is a miracle. When that accelerates, you say, gosh, you know, all I have to do is think of something. It happens. It's a miracle. Okay. The third sutra, laughter. Being established in the cosmic paradox. The cosmos is full of paradox. Okay? Pain and pleasure together. Light and darkness together. Good and evil together. The sinner and the saint together in the same being. It's our human mind that says, you know, that tries to label things as good, bad, right, wrong, etc. We get very self-righteous about it and we classify people, etc., etc. When the spirit stops doing that, there's only one thing you can experience. It's laughter. Your being is comfortable with the being that says it's all a paradox anyway. What's a joke? A joke is a paradox that your being recognizes immediately. If I have to explain a joke to you, then it's not a joke anymore. It's only a joke when your being recognizes the paradox and you feel so lighthearted. You laugh. Okay, so when our being is established in the cosmic paradox, we feel lighthearted, carefree, joyous, and we feel laughter in our lives. It's the ego that's serious. The spirit is not serious at all. In fact, if you want to have one criterion for whether a person is spiritual or not, only one criterion, is they're not serious. They're responsible, but they're not serious. Because seriousness is the ego, which feels self-important, self-pity, all of that stuff. Self-important, self-pity is the same thing. And the last sutra is love. Now, most people think love is an emotion. Maybe. Love is a sentiment. Maybe. But according to the great wisdom traditions, love is not a mere sentiment. Love is not a mere emotion. Love is the ultimate truth at the heart of creation. And that love is unity consciousness. Unity consciousness means that your being feels unified with all other beings. And when that happens, it becomes impossible to hurt or be hurt. These are the effects of the Heart Sutras. And now you can forget all about it and just do it and wait for the magic to emerge in your life.